The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge. Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something that, well, it's pretty much everywhere, but almost invisible. Recommendation engines. We're diving into Michael Schrage's really insightful book, Recommendation Engines.
It's such a timely topic, isn't it? Because, yeah. You know, most people probably think of them as just algorithms, the things that tell you what to buy on Amazon or what to watch next on Netflix.
Exactly, just sales tools, basically.
Yeah. Sophisticated ones, maybe, but still just trying to sell you something.
And that's precisely the idea Schrage wants to push back against. He argues their real purpose, or maybe their potential, is much deeper. It's not just, what should I choose, but, and this is the core question, who do I want to become?
Who do I want to become? That really reframes it. It suddenly makes these algorithms sound less like salesmen and more like, well, like guides for self-discovery almost.
Yeah, it shifts the focus immediately away from just, you know, a transaction and towards personal growth or maybe even transformation.
Which is a pretty bold claim. So maybe we should talk a bit about Michael Schrage himself. Like, where is he coming from with this?
Good idea. What's his background? What makes his perspective on this so, well, compelling?
Well, Schrage is a research fellow over at MIT's Sloan School of Management, specifically with their initiative on the digital economy. He's been looking at innovation, technology's impact, and crucially, the sort of behavioral side of how we interact with tech for decades.
Okay, so he's got the academic chops. And he's written other big books too, right? Like Serious Play.
That's right. He's globally recognized. But what I think makes his unique here is that he's not just looking at it from one angle, like just the tech or just the business side.
So he's connecting the dots, technology, business, but also psychology, sociology.
Exactly. He operates right at that intersection. He sees these recommendation engines, not just as code, but as these complex socio-technical systems.
Mm-hmm.
He's interested in how we use tech to think with. And this is the really interesting part for this book, how we use recommendations to become with.
Become with. Okay.
Right.
Like the algorithm is a partner in our own development.
Kind of, yeah. Like a personalized mirror that reflects us, but also helps shape what we see in that reflection as we evolve.
That's a fascinating lens. Okay, so let's dig into the book's main argument then. How does he build this case that they're more than just prediction machines?
So the core idea, the big thesis, is that we're moving past an era where these engines just predict what we'll like based on our past. You know, if you liked X, you'll like Y.
Right, the stuff we already know we like.
Yeah, he says we're moving into an era of possibility. The engines are starting to suggest genuinely new paths, new interests, things we might not have considered. They're becoming active partners in exploring who we could be.
Active partners in identity formation. Wow. Does he get into the tech side much, or is it mostly the bigger picture stuff?
He does touch on the tech, explains the basics without getting bogged down in jargon, which is helpful. But yeah, most of the book is really dedicated to unpacking the psychological, sociological, and economic impact of these things.
And that gets into the power dynamic you mentioned, this idea of augmented intelligence.
Exactly. He calls them sophisticated mirrors, right? You reflect our tastes, sure. But then they start subtly shaping those tastes. They become this invisible infrastructure of influence.
Invisible infrastructure of influence?
Yeah.
That sounds a little ominous. Does he think they're like controlling us, challenging free will?
He definitely flags that as a concern. He acknowledges it's a double-edged sword. They make choosing easier. They reduce the friction, as he calls it. But the cost might be some of our autonomy or, you know, stumbling onto things by pure chance serendipity.
Okay, so how does that work psychologically? He has that metaphor, right, about talking to your future self?
Yeah, that's a key part. He talks about it in the intro in chapter 3.
Hmm.
The idea is, when Netflix or Spotify suggests something totally new, it's not just a random shot. It's like the system is saying, hey, what about this version of you? The you that might be into, I don't know, obscure documentaries or Argentinian folk music.
Huh. I definitely get that feeling sometimes, like it knows a part of me I haven't quite explored yet.
Right. And that ties into what psychologists call the paradox of choice. Having too many options can actually be paralyzing. So these recommenders act as choice architects. They frame things, they filter, they prioritize.
So instead of showing you thousands of movies, Netflix gives you a few curated rows.
Exactly. And in doing that, they're not just suggesting a movie, they're subtly guiding how you see yourself in that moment. tonight you're the kind of person who watches. It shapes that temporary identity.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do they actually do that? Can we quickly touch on the main types of filtering? Content-based versus collaborative.
Sure. Let's use music again. Content-based filtering is the simple one. It's like, you like this indie rock band, so here are five other indie rock bands that sound almost exactly the same.
Okay, more the same. Safe, but maybe a bit boring.
Pretty much. Its strength is in niche stuff, finding things very similar to what you already love. Weakness, no surprises. Then you have collaborative filtering.
Ah, this is the powerhouse, right?
Definitely. This one works on social proof. It says, hang on, people who like that same indie band also seem to really like this unexpected electronic artist. It looks at patterns across millions of users.
So that's where the serendipity comes in, finding connections you wouldn't make yourself.
Exactly. It taps into these taste communities, as Schrage calls them. And interestingly, he points out this isn't brand new conceptually. He mentions an old Xerox email system called Tapestry from the 90s that did a basic version. But the scale today is just mind-blowing.
Right. The scale changes everything. Which brings us to the economics. If these things are shaping identity and driving what we watch, read, buy, someone's making a lot of money, right?
Oh, absolutely. Schrage is very clear. The recommender isn't just a nice feature on a website. It's a core strategic asset. A huge one.
Do we have numbers on that, like for Amazon or Netflix?
Yeah, the figures are pretty staggering. For Amazon, estimates suggest recommendations drive something like 35% of their total sales. 35%.
Wow.
And for Netflix, it's even higher. Around 80% of what people end up watching comes directly from an algorithmic suggestion.
80%. So the business goal isn't just selling one more thing.
Not at all. It's about engagement, keeping you on the platform, reducing churn, that's when customers leave, and maximizing customer lifetime value, or CLV.
So the better the recommendation engine knows you, the stickier the platform becomes.
Precisely. It feels personalized, you feel understood, maybe even delighted, which, you know, keeps you coming back. It's kind of designing for loyalty, maybe even a little bit like designing for addiction, but framed as personalization.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly to the social and cultural side. Chapter 4 talks about the long tail, right? How does that fit in?
Yeah, the long tail theory, popularized by Chris Anderson. The idea is that the internet allows businesses to sell a huge number of niche items, not just bestsellers. Recommendation engines are key to this.
How so?
Well, they can surface those obscure books or indie films or specialized products that would otherwise just get lost. They create viable markets for niche creators and content. So in a way, they can boost cultural diversity.
That sounds positive. But there's a downside, too, isn't there? This idea of taste communities.
Right. While they connect people with niche interests, they also tend to cluster us. You end up in groups of people who like mostly the same things you do.
The infamous echo chamber or filter bubble.
Exactly. It's the double-edged sword. Promoting niche stuff is great, but if that's all you see, if the algorithm only shows you things it knows you'll agree with or like, then you risk homogenization. Or just never encountering different perspectives.
Yeah. Schrage really emphasizes that risk. Relevance is good, but if it comes at the complete cost of exposure to difference, it can actually stunt your growth. Intellectually and culturally, you get stuck. Okay, that's a lot to take in. So pulling it together, what are the absolute must-remember themes or messages for someone listening? What should we carry forward?
I think the absolute biggest one is that reframing. Prediction to possibility. Stop thinking about accuracy. Did it guess right? And start thinking about the value of the possibilities it suggests, especially the surprising ones. Are they helping you explore?
Right. And theme 2 has to be that feedback loop idea.
Yes, the coevolution of self and system. Our choices train it. Its suggestions shape our next choices. We're literally growing and changing with this technology. It's a dynamic relationship.
Then there's the power aspect.
Definitely. Theme 3, recognizing the algorithmic power and choice architecture. These aren't neutral platforms. They nudge us, frame our options, prioritize things. They wield influence, even without forcing us.
And finally, looking ahead.
The fourth theme, the future is advisory. Schrage argues this recommendation framework is just too powerful to stay limited to movies and shopping. Expect it to move into much higher stakes areas. Think personalized learning paths and education, or maybe even preventative health advice. Digital advisors.
Digital advisors. That's quite a future. Schrage also has some really quotable lines in the book, doesn't he? Things that really stick.
Oh, for sure. He has a great way of cutting through the complexity.
What's one that really captures that idea of them shaping us?
I like this one. Recommendation engines don't just predict what we want. They participate in creating what we want. See, it makes them active agents, not just passive guessers. They're involved in forming our desires.
Yeah, that's powerful. And the one about identity being like an experiment.
Right. Every recommendation is a hypothesis about you. Every choice you make is data that confirms or refutes that hypothesis. It frames our clicking and watching as this constant feedback loop about who we're becoming.
Which leads to that algorithmic intimacy idea. And what about the trade-off we make?
Yeah, that's a sobering one. We have traded the friction of choice for the comfort of curation, often without realizing what we've given up. Convenience is great, but maybe we've lost some of the joy of just stumbling onto something completely unexpected.
That really hits home. Okay, so given all this, what can we actually do about it in our daily lives? How do we stay in the driver's seat?
Well, the first step is simply awareness. Become a conscious user. When something pops up, just take a second. Ask yourself, okay, why this? Does this suggestion actually align with who I want to be? Or is it just feeding me more of yesterday's me?
Good question. And beyond awareness.
Try to actively engineer serendipity. If your feeds feel stale, if you're only seeing the same old stuff, deliberately break the pattern. Go watch something from a totally different genre, rate things you normally wouldn't. Basically, retrain your algorithm. Force it to broaden its picture of you.
Inject a little chaos into the system. I like it. What about from the other side, for businesses or creators using these tools?
Shrage's advice there is more long-term. For businesses, design for discovery and trust. Don't just optimize for the quick click or sale. Build trust by being transparent, maybe even explaining why something was recommended. That builds loyalty.
And for creators, like writers, musicians, filmmakers.
Understand that long-tail power. Use good metadata, accurate tags. Help the algorithm find your specific niche audience. You need to make your work discoverable within this system.
Makes sense. So as we wrap up, what's your biggest takeaway from diving into Shrage's work? What really stands out to you?
For me, it's the sheer concentration of influence these systems represent. They offer amazing personalization, sure, but that power to shape possibilities for millions, even billions of people, it's immense. It really drives home that algorithmic literacy, understanding the why and how behind these recommendations, isn't just nice to have. It's becoming an essential civic skill. We need to know how these powerful socio-technical systems work.
Yeah, that power concentration is sobering. For me, what I really loved was the fundamental shift in perspective he offers, getting us to stop seeing these engines purely as, you know, digital shop assistants and starting to see them as potentially powerful tools for human betterment. If they're designed and used responsibly, it gives us back a sense of agency, I think. We can use these tools thoughtfully to help shape ourselves, to explore different versions of who we might become. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.